there was a day during COVID when I just thought to myself, like, what's the most vulnerable thing I could do as I'm building my brand, building my network on LinkedIn? I had just finished reading Atomic Habits, and James Clear literally says that it takes 66 days to form a habit. So I sat there and I was like, I want to call this initiative something. So I came up with Project 66. What is that? I literally, for 66 days, posted on LinkedIn every single day, which some people might be like, so what? Well, what I did was I took the most vulnerable piece of shit talk that was happening in my brain, and I actually put it on paper for all of the world to see.
On this episode, I'm speaking with Tara Samuels, founder and CEO of Multifamily Mentor Matchmaking. If you know Tara, you'll know she has a flair for fostering connections. From on-site roles to supplier endeavors, her journey has been a dynamic blend of experiences since the 90s. Also known as the relationship building architect, she's the mastermind behind countless industry connections that stand the test of time. In addition to the matchmaking group, she's also a communication disruptor, leveraging her obsession with human connection through video as the VP of sales at SalesMail. Today, Tara resides in Atlanta after a lifetime in Chicago, and in a twist of fate, met her husband, Rob, at a multifamily conference in Indianapolis. Thankfully, we were able to capture that story too. Without further ado, let's dive into this conversation with Tara. All right. Well, Tara, thank you so much for joining me on Transforming Cities today. It's great to have you.
I'm excited to be here.
Well, certainly I've known of you and I've seen some of the things that you're doing in the industry, and it's a pleasure to get to know you a little bit more and certainly share your story on Transforming Cities. So I love to start with a little bit about your history, your backstory. Where were you born and raised?
If anyone says Chi-Town, we do not like that. So we're going Chicago.
Okay.
Born and raised in Chicago, and it is, I miss it. I have been out of there since July of 2022, but everywhere in the suburbs, the city, the whole thing is where I grew up, and it's where my roots are. So definitely Midwest grown.
Nice. And you had told me that you have a pretty unique story in terms of like mom and dad, in terms of the mom and dad story. So why don't you sort of set the scene for us about their story? Because it's a little bit wild.
Yeah, definitely my life started before I was even born, unconventional. And it's really kind of carried throughout my entire existence. And when you have two teenage parents back in the 70s, really, it's not the best recipe for success because I grew up Irish Catholic and it was like, okay, now you must get married. And so it did not last, shocker. So I grew up with this family growing through the divorce, both parents remarrying, and that created my extension of half siblings. But yeah, it was tough. I didn't have the best growing up, to be honest, and didn't really get a chance to see my dad very much. He's very present now. But yeah, and I was carrying on the traditional Irish Catholic theme. They threw me in private school and then gave me the culture shock, and years later put me in public school. So I kind of went through a lot of like shakeups in life.
You know, one of the themes that you mentioned quite a bit in the times that we've been able to connect so far is this idea of leading an unconventional path. And it's something that seems to really resonate with your story, obviously, from early on through today. Mm-hmm. Where did that originate? Like, when did you start thinking about it through that lens?
I think it wasn't totally unusual to have divorced parents growing up. So it wasn't really then. It was more when I grew up and became an adult. And I guess let me back up for a second. When I decided that I'd rather be at work than be at home, that was one kind of catalyst, I would say. And so back in the day, I don't want to age myself, but back in the day, you could, with like a permission slip, for lack of a better term, go get a real job. And because my lifestyle at home wasn't the best environment, I was like, you know what? I am not going to go out for sports. I love money. I love like making a difference and working. And so I got my first job at 13 at McDonald's. And so I'd go straight from school right to work and work weekends. And that's why, other than the fact that I'm klutzy, people are like, oh, so that's why you're not, you weren't in any sports. I'm a workaholic. I'm super, super true to being a Capricorn. But I think also in true fashion, and I know we'll touch on it later, but having a child out of wedlock myself, that certainly underscored the unconventional theme.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. No, let's get into that. Cause I know that you called Chicago home, up until a couple years ago. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why was because of your daughter and sort of the story behind that. And there was sort of a equally unique story that has since pulled you away from Chicago. Maybe, before we kind of jump into the multifamily piece of this, maybe kind of set the stage for the viewers and listeners about that story as well.
Yeah. So I I've been married before, but as another unconventional twist of fate, I had my daughter and not married. And so I was navigating these uncharted waters of, okay, how do I be a single mom with at the time where I wasn't really ready to be a parent. And I just decided that, you know what? Okay, this is meant to be. I can do it. I can work hard. And so the single mom life began. And the way I met my husband, did you want me to jump into that now?
Yeah, or? Go for it. Yeah, let's hear
it. Okay. Well, as I've bounced around to multifamily for a while, I call it the boomerang industry, because mm-hmm. if you've ever tried to leave, it will suck you right back in.
Yeah, you hear that a lot, certainly.
You do. And multifamily affords a lot of people some flexibility. When you work at a community, they're open 7 days a week traditionally. So, but I got into the industry simply because I was fascinated with the process. But then fast forward, when I had the taste of what property management and leasing looked like, when it came time to find housing for myself and my daughter, it was a natural fit to go to multifamily and get a job back in that industry, because daycare is so expensive. And so I was like, let me find an industry where I can be flexible and have 2 days off during the week. And so that's what brought me back into multifamily. And then fast forward years later, oh my gosh, it's so funny. I can like remember the day back in October of 2017. I'm at the Indianapolis Multifamily Conference, and it's a 2-day trade show. When you are at a 2-day trade show, you get to know the neighbors that are around you. And it turns out that my husband, my now husband, back then he was trying to recruit me for a job. And I was in staffing at the time. And so I just kept thinking like, oh, he just must want to use me for my staffing resources, things like that. No. So as the unconventional theme began, we decided after months of having just like a great industry friendship, and we realized like, oh my God, we know all the same people, such as multifamily. And we began dating long distance. And so he lives in Atlanta, had 2 boys, which are now my stepsons. We hate that word, by the way. We don't say stepson. But anyway, for everybody that's listening and understands what that means. And then I'm in Chicago. So we, every 10 to 14 days or so for 5 years, we went back and forth and dated and was married long distance. And so I had never lived with him until after 4 years of marriage. So again, wow. Unconventional.
Very.
Yeah.
Very, very unconventional. And one of the things that I think I mentioned to you when we spoke last was, man, props to you and kudos to you for being a single mom and doing it solo. It's hard enough with sort of the traditional 2-parent family, and I can't imagine doing it with one. So hats off to you. What an honor and a privilege, probably seeing your daughter evolve and grow up. So that's awesome.
You bet. Thank you.
Let's pivot to multifamily. That's why we're here, right? And yep. You kind of noted it with boomerang. The funny thing is most people in multifamily aren't like heading into multifamily saying, this is my career from day one. And as you said, a lot of people find their way into multifamily, then leave for a few years, and then they come back. Sometimes people do it two or three times throughout their career. How did you specifically stumble into multifamily?
When I was legal to go sign for my first apartment at the age of 18, Tom Orshel, if you're still out there and listening, he was my very first property manager slash leader in the industry at Pine Hill Apartments in Wheeling, Illinois, by the El Famous Burrito. It's amazing what you remember. It was a mid-rise community that was, in our days, we would call it C-class, but I thought it was the Taj Mahal because it was mine. And the woman who toured me throughout the community, she'd be like, are you like seeing all this? And I'm like, can you tell me how to be a leasing agent? I'm like, how did you become this? And she was like, are you interested in a job or an apartment? And I was like, maybe both. I'm not sure. So I'm a very social person, and I just kept finding ways to go into the leasing office on the weekends. And finally, Tom just looked at me and he's like, you talk a lot. You seem to really love the leasing office. Do you want a job? And I was like, yes. And at that time, I was going back to school. I had gone back to school a couple of times in life. I did not take the traditional college route, unconventional. And so that was my first taste, was being a leasing agent part-time on the weekends in the suburbs of Chicago. And I don't know what it is, but I was it was something that just I felt like was in my DNA.
Yeah. And you said to me that there came a time when you actually had some scary situations come up, especially as a single mom at the time, and sort of like maybe not where you wanted to be for the rest of your career. And so I think you made some changes around that time to sort of transition where you were placed, so to speak, in the multifamily industry. Walk us through that transition period and really like where you ended up on the other side.
Yeah, I you know, grew in my career and eventually ended up in property management and a beautiful community, lived on site. That is one unique thing about me, is every community I've ever worked at, I've lived on site. It gives you such a great perspective, but you walk away with some stories because you see it all. One of the tough parts, I think, there's a couple things with living on site and also being a single mom, is that you don't really ever check out. And so when you're not off the clock, it's hard to give your family and your children your full attention. But there were some times where, and I don't know if they still deliver 5-day notices in person or at the door, because we have automation now. But I was delivering 5-day notices, and there was a gentleman who just got unruly with me. And it just became to the point where I was hiding. And I didn't feel safe living in my own community. I had a few other incidents with other residents. And this was considered a Class A, like luxury lease up.
Yeah.
People are what people are. It was unpredictable. And I said to myself, like, I need to make a change. And I didn't want to leave the industry. And I wish I could remember how I found him. But Robert Turnbull, who is still in the industry today, he was my very first mentor who was... I have a male and a female mentor from multifamily. He was the first one that found the potential in me in 2009 and said, you know what? I can see the value that you can bring to sales. And I'm like, but I'm not a salesperson. And I'm like, I don't like sales. He's like, Tara, you sell every day. You just don't realize it. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I actually do. He's like, you manage a community. You're selling your asset. You're teaching your team to sell. And I was like, okay. He took a chance on me. And, with that confidence, I was able to make a change off-site. And that got me into the supplier side. And I've been in the supplier side since 2009. So it's crazy.
So around this time, you mentioned to me that, and I hope I'm pronouncing this well, but you mentioned that Impressions was launched. Is that, am I hitting that, or am I totally like whiffing on the name?
Sort of. So, okay. Back in 2013, when I was living in Chicago and I was in outside sales as a supplier, I noticed that we needed connection more than just what our apartment industry offered. I wanted something more intimate. So I launched what's called Amplified Connections, which was just a way for all of us to come together once a month at an apartment community. So I facilitated, you know, finding the location, bringing everybody together. And that became a monthly thing for years. The impressions piece was born out of COVID. So as you can imagine, when COVID hit, the years of us getting together in person was stopped. Nobody knew how long that was going to go. And so I had some sponsors supporting my group. And I said, how can I drive value to the website? And how can I also provide an additional resource to folks in the industry? So what I did is I created, it's a spinoff of the word impression. So I was thinking of folks like Robert Turnbull, like Diana Petro, people who have really made a name for themselves in the industry, helped others. And I reached out to them and interviewed them. And I have a library of, I don't know, 30 or 40 industry influencers who just come from different backgrounds. And I asked them all the same 10 questions. And it turned out to be a tremendous resource for people because it's a flavor of personal and professional. And one of the pieces of that is some industry advice. And then there's also like, what's the song that puts you in a good mood? Or if you named an apartment community, what would you name it? And then there's always a piece about mentorship. So I thought this, what a great resource this could be for people who's maybe in the industry or want to know more about the industry leaders and people who are of influence. So yeah, that's awesome. What Impressions is. Yeah.
Yeah. Really cool. Really cool. Well, I want to dive into sales mail and certainly multifamily mentor matchmaking. But first, I thought it was important for us to do this like quick little tangent. There's a little side road here coming up in our conversation, and it has to do with this milestone you hit around the same time as you made that transition, 2012, I believe, when you graduated from college. And it was, again, unconventional path, but you did it. What was driving you to do that? And congratulations, by the way, for knocking that out.
Oh, thanks. So coincidentally, when I became a supplier in 2009, at that same token, I was staring at my daughter one night and I was like, my parents never instilled the value of college in me. I didn't have any of that in my family. And it wasn't in my daughter's on her dad's side either. And I thought to myself, like, I can change that. I was really fortunate in all of my careers in and out of multifamily that no one ever asked for a degree. I just hustled, worked hard, got promoted and did what you're supposed to do. Yeah. And so it kind of became a crutch. Well, I kind of had an epiphany and I thought to myself, like, the best gift I feel like I could give my daughter at the time was the gift of education and hustle and grinding. And so while working full time, I decided to go back to college. So I actually started in 2009 and it took me some time, but I finally, you mentioned 2012, that's when I finally graduated and Columbia College of Missouri, degree in marketing. And the coolest thing was to have my daughter actually at the graduation. And she was, you know, Chris, it was actually kind of cool because she was of an age at that time where she could, she was 8 years old. She could understand the importance at that age a little bit more about what college means and what it means to just buckle down, commit to something and see it through.
Yeah. I love that. That's a great story.
Nice.
And you've continued the theme of buckling down and hustling ever since. certainly.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Transforming Cities, brought to you by Authentic, delivering premier multifamily brand experiences and smart digital marketing. Authentic's proven approach accelerates leasing velocity, boosts rental rates, and increases long-term value. You can find out more at AuthenticFF.com. And by Charles Gate, the multifamily investor's secret weapon to help underwrite, go to market, and operate projects that generate market-beating returns. With an adaptive staffing model and on-demand leasing teams, Charlesgate empowers a better resident experience at an efficient cost structure for today's owners. Visit charlesgate.com for more.
So let's dive into it. Multifamily mentor matchmaking. I want you to sort of set the stage and how sales mail kind of overlaps and is in some cases sort of a part of that journey. Mm-hmm. However you want to take that question, set that up for the viewers and listeners.
Well, I was so fortunate, as I mentioned, two folks in my industry who, you know, not everybody finds a Robert Turnbull or a Diana Petro. Those are two trailblazers still today. who took me under their wing, took a chance on me. Diana taught me to speak up in a boardroom. Her and I served on a couple of board terms together at the Chicagoland Apartment Association. Robert was the first one to say, hey, I believe in you. I see something in you. And so I, as life progressed and as I morphed into my career, I'm like, man, I hope everybody has a Diana and a Robert because everyone deserves to. Simultaneously, I also had a gentleman named Mike Fine, who was my first mentor ever back in the 90s. And he just passed away in December. And he is the one who taught me basically everything. And so here I am, so fortunate to have three pivotal mentors in my life. And so for years, I sat on this idea of, you know, back when like internet dating was a thing and swiping left and Tinder and all this crazy stuff.
I think like, that's still a thing. I don't know.
I've not been in the market for a while.
Yeah. I don't know. I shouldn't be talking about it because I don't know. I think that's still a thing. Let us know in the comments though, maybe.
Here I have this amplified connections. I have these impressions. I have access to these people. I have the personality to go right up to somebody and say, I admire you. I would like you to be my mentor. But you know what, Chris? There's a lot of people who can't do that. And so for years, I got in my own head and I had the idea long ago. And I didn't have the name for it, but I was like, I feel like I'm really good with my intuition on bringing people together. I've done that naturally with networking. Surely I could do something like that with mentorship. And the reason why it took me so long is because I had so much trash talk in my head that just said, Tara, what the hell do you know about mentorship? You're not a mentor. And then it was Mike and Diana and Robert who all was like, what do you mean you don't know about mentorship? Of course you do. Look at the things that you've done. Look what you've done for your daughter. And so I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to put something on LinkedIn. My husband has been teaching me to be vulnerable, not easy. And it's, I don't know if it's a Capricorn thing or a stubborn Irish thing, it's whatever. But so in the spirit of vulnerability, in December of 2022, I put a message on LinkedIn and I was like, I don't even remember what the heck it said, but it was something like, hey, if I launched a group that matched people for mentorship, like would anybody be interested? My goal was to get 10 people and I needed some endorsement. And the first person to message me privately who said, I've got your back was Steve Halsey. And Steve is another industry icon. He and I both worked at Amley Residential. And then a month later, Dr. Debbie Phillips, we went to lunch in Atlanta and she's like, girl, you're onto something. I believe in you. She handed me, I have to show you, where is it? One of her, I don't know if I have it handy, one of her Believe and Succeed cards. That's all I needed. And I just said, you know what? I have no runway, no roadmap, no manual, but I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's where it morphed into multifamily mentor matchmaking. I gave it a name, got a logo. But then I thought to myself, if this is a national group open to everybody, how do I keep connection? What tool can I use? And I was like, oh my God, sales mail. I had already been using it for a couple of years. I was one of their first ambassadors in the industry to use their tool. So through video and through the power of connection, and it was branded to multifamily mentor matchmaking. My whole group, which is now over 400 people, is staying connected through video. And so it's been amazing and humbling to see how, thank God, I didn't wait too much longer. Because lives are being changed. And it was an idea that I'm glad I finally acted on and got out of my own way.
That's an awesome story. And it's not been very long since it started. And it sounds like you've already seen a lot of success. For those listening that, and including myself, you know, I've never been in the group. I've definitely heard about it. Again, like I said at the top of the podcast, I've heard about it. I've seen what you've been doing. How would you describe the makeup of the group? And what goes on? Do people sort of dive onto these big calls and it's kind of a free for all? Is it, how do you get to this one-on-one stage? I know that's about five questions in one, but like describe the way it works and what it's all about.
well, back to the fact that I had no owner's manual or, you know, template. First of all, let me say to each one of the members that's in this community, like, thank God for their patience, because I pivot. Picture Ross from Friends pivoting with the couch up the stairs. Like, that's me full time with this group, because I wasn't really sure what I was doing on how I would bring the people together with calls. Where it stands today, with a lot of trial and error and a lot of like technical Zoom issues, that the joke is constantly that we have some sort of tech issue on our calls. But I thought, let me provide a safe space virtually where we all get together and have what's just called an informal meet and greet. I provide an icebreaker or two. The premise behind these, which have now become almost weekly, give or take, you know, we're having a handful of these a month. They're recorded calls where everyone gets a voice. That is my goal. That's part one of Empower, which is Empower, Connect, and Thrive are the three themes of the group. It's my mission, just kind of in three words. And what we have done through trial and error is somebody from the group steps up and teaches the members about something they're passionate about. And they last between an hour and a half. And it could be about fitness. It could be about LinkedIn. It could be about networking. It could be about whatever. And we now have grown to the point where we're meeting in person. This year, Valentine's Day, I realized that I needed help. So I now have a committee. People, again, who are like, Tara, how can I help you? I love this group. I see value. So one of the five questions, I think, was like, how are we coming together? So it's these informal meet and greets. And how the matching works is by intuition. So we have a massive spreadsheet of all of the members. Everyone fills out the same questionnaire that gives me a flavor of who they are if I don't know them. And it gives me enough of like a sense of like, oh, I think that they would be really good with Chris. That sounds like they've got some similar values, similar goals. And but I do ask them on the onset to pick one or two people that you think you would jive with. And I'll ask that person if they're open to mentoring you. And if they say yes, then I make the introduction. And then what I like about the group, Chris, is that there's no cadence. Like, there isn't like a template. They create their own structure. Whatever works for them. They can have more than one mentor. You can have more than one mentee. But also the meet and greets are designed to get a flavor of someone's personality, because we're not always going to be able to meet one another. And so since they're recorded, we have a library of all these calls that we've done together over the last 14 months. And if someone says, God, who's this Chris guy? I want to know a little bit more about him. Like, what is this transforming cities? Like, they'd be able to get like a sense of who you are from being on a call, and then say, you know what, Tara, I think I learned a little bit about Chris. I think he'd be a really good fit for me. And that's how it all works. So there's a little bit of work on their end, and then there's a little bit of work on my end. And guess what? Sometimes the matches don't work, and that's okay. So did I cover all of the
you cover them beautifully as I delivered that butchered question. I want to get more into the different formats you've been testing out and trialing. But just from a business owner perspective, like business owner to business owner, if you've thought about monetizing the group, and if you think that's in the cards in the future, or maybe just like your general thesis on charging people for this service that's clearly working and gaining momentum.
Yeah, you know what I needed to prove to myself is that I had something to stand on, that people, if you build it, they will come, right? I think we're at the point right now where about 75% of our weekly new members are by referral. Like, how flattering is that? So now that I've reached this point, I'm so blessed, literally. I literally have a couple of members, Grady Newman, Stacey Feeney, who have stepped up and said, how can we help you create a mentor-specific website to show testimonials, videos, success stories? And then on the second part, like, how can we create like more of an automation for my group? So when a new member joins, it takes me on average 15 to 20 minutes to just register them, welcome them. I handwrite everybody a card. I think that's important. I want to make sure they're set up for success. So when you take that, and if I have, you know, 15 people join in a week, it's a lot of extra time. I have a 9-to-5. And so now I'm at the point where it's been proven, and people have been coming to me saying like, hey, you should probably charge for this thing. And I'm like, really? And what we have, we've consulted with some amazing people in this group and in the industry who have said, if you can take this and now turn this group as a resource for an employee benefit, a supplier company or an owner manager company in our space who maybe doesn't have the resource for mentorship for their employees, now they have a place that has structure, has a community, and they could feel comfortable, I hope, to pay a little something for an employee to reap the benefits of mentorship. And then also we're thinking of doing like little master classes and like little mini courses. And so IREM and NAA, if you're listening, I have toggled the idea of endorsing this group for continuing education, because we're teaching every call, we're teaching. And so there's something to that. And so there's new member orientations. We're changing up the format. We did like a nighttime call where it was like unscripted, no recordings, no note takers allowed. Let's pick a subject and let's start talking about it. And it was just, what was it about? It was all about like asking the right questions. And there's just some amazing thought leaders in our group. There's C-suite. There's, you know what, Chris, there's more C-suite joining than ever. And they're telling me, you should pay a charge for this group. So the runway is sometime this year. I thought it was going to be by mid-year. Let's get the website going. I have a podcast that I'm going to be launching at some point this year just about mentorship. And then let's create some courses and let's turn this into a benefit. The reason for the charge is also because I'm looking to invest in the group and provide maybe some automation tools, but also some matching software that is out there that maybe can help that lift and allow like the swiping for mentorship to take place. It's a hefty investment. So that's where we're at though for the monetization.
No, I love it. I love hearing about, you know, the sort of meet and greet calls. I know that you have post-conference recap calls as well.
Yes, we do.
Hearing about this after hours, after dark call where people are like eating dinner just in a corner, like with a veil over their computer screen as they listen in. Really cool stuff. I mean, I think you're onto something here. Another piece that you were mentioning to me, which I very much agree with, it's something Transforming Cities is thinking about doing as well, is kind of breaking out of the behemoth conference mold and offering a different type of conference experience for our audiences. What do you have in mind for a potential conference around this, like mentorship, this bigger mentorship idea?
So, so funny, because again, like I started getting in my own head, and then I'm like, I'd get on a meet and greet call and I'd be like, hey guys, I'm kind of toying with the idea of having a conference, you know, the, like wait for the tomatoes to be thrown. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, no. Like, they're like, oh, like after a big conference. And I'm like, no, a mentorship conference dedicated to just the people in this group. So to your point, yes. And we have now actually given it some, we have a template, which is it's going to happen in 2026, probably going to happen in either February or July, because I've got to dance around all of the other conferences happening in our industry. It is going to happen in Atlanta, because everyone has to fly through Atlanta to get anywhere. And so it makes sense. But one of the most impactful things I think I'm most excited about for this conference is, think of it a couple of different ways. It'll have like a stage of nothing but success stories of people who have met in the group and who have said, if it wasn't for your group, this wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have found this job. I wouldn't have gotten this promotion. I wouldn't have improved my self-talk, like whatever that looks like. So you're going to see kind of like Oprah, you know, like interview style. And one of the things I'm most excited about is giving away scholarships. We are going to ask my supplier partners who are part of this group to provide money to support the conference, but also there's some people out there, Chris, who can't afford to get a designation, go to NAA, go to NMHC. Like, I want to provide some resources and give back to the members by rewarding their participation, rewarding just like different, I haven't exactly figured that out, but the best part is going to be giving away the Mike Fine Award.
Wow.
And I haven't really defined exactly what that looks like, but I will tell you that I am going to be a sobbing mess. I will cry constantly, and I'm not afraid to do that. I don't care. I don't care about the boogers down my face. I'm going to cry because Mike Fine was the guy who first gave me, like, I didn't even know what the heck a mentor was until he came into my life. And because he just passed away, that is my way to continue to honor him. And I'm hoping that his two kids, Jessica and Andy, will come to Atlanta and be part of it. But this is going to be success story after success story, education, and maybe even a job fair, kind of taking some of the folks in the industry. And because, you know what, Chris, I forgot to mention, you don't even have to have a job to be part of my group. I want people who are maybe in a transition, they're open to work. The only rule is you have to be in multifamily. That's it.
Wow.
I don't care how much industry experience you have something to offer. And when I see someone's open to work banner go up, that's a pretty vulnerable situation. What I do is private message them and say, I have a community for you. I'm not guaranteeing you a job, but I'm guaranteeing you support and a community. And so that's
yeah.
The conference is going to be about empowerment, connection, and thriving. That's it.
I love it. I feel like I just got like the exclusive first look at the inner workings of this soon to be 2026 conference. So I feel honored. Thank you for sharing that with me and the audience.
Oh, yeah.
You touched on something there too. I want to pull out as we as we start to wrap up. But I think you used this word earlier in the conversation too. But it was vulnerability. Yeah. I want to shift to this idea of vulnerability, and it kind of relates to your favorite book, Atomic Habits. But you mentioned vulnerability a few times. I know that it means a lot to you. What's the connection between like vulnerability, this book that you've mentioned a few times to me, and what you're doing today through this group?
So we all argue with our spouse. It's a thing, right? You know, shit happens. And oops, sorry, am I allowed to cuss?
You are. This is not a regulated channel, so you're good.
If you dissect what is the foundation of the arguments, it tends to be where someone's not being vulnerable. And so if you let that go, and I'm getting better at it, but years ago, I was just not good at it. And there was a day during COVID when I just thought to myself, like, what's the most vulnerable thing I could do as I'm building my brand, building my network on LinkedIn? I had just finished reading Atomic Habits, and James Clear literally says that it takes 66 days to form a habit. So I sat there and I was like, I want to call this initiative something. So I came up with Project 66. What is that? I literally for 66 days posted on LinkedIn every single day, which some people might be like, so what? Well, what I did was I took the most vulnerable piece of shit talk that was happening in my brain, and I actually put it on paper for all of the world to see. But then in the same post, I would reframe it and say, no, Tara, you're not a fat, ugly, whatever. You're a beautiful person. You're smart. You're kind. Like whatever my situation was that day. And I just put it out there, and just hitting that like post button, I would like run and cry. Cause I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally putting like my worst fears out on the internet. But what happened was every day I became stronger. My self-talk improved, and I started realizing my worth. And I truly think, Chris, that if I didn't do that project, that I don't think I would have started the mentor group. I don't think I would have had the strength to do it. And one of the most engaged posts was me ripping myself to shreds about sitting in a chair where you could see my stomach fat roll in a dress.
What?
Swear. I'm hoping I can go back in the archives and grab that. So I called it a project. I am now taking the 66 days worth of content, and I'm going to turn it into speaking engagements. And this will be relaunched because I think it's time that I relaunch it for myself. And I'm going to open it up to my mentor group and say, who's with me? Who wants to do Project 66 with me? Let's do version 2, 2.0. And let's get this trash talk in our head, because it's only going to help our personal and work relationships. So,
that
was all Atomic Habits. And by the way, one of the things I ask my mentor group is their favorite book. More than half have picked Atomic Habits as their favorite book. So,
I've heard that a few times on the podcast, and certainly outside of the podcast, having people say Atomic Habits, great book. And for very different reasons, right? Like, this is a very unique reason why, and everyone has their own unique reason why, which is really cool. So we'll definitely link that in the show notes. So I think a good place to kind of end here is I know that there are going to be people watching or listening that are kind of just, they're with you here. They're like, they're on your team. They're going to be joining the group, you know, tonight. And they're at the same time, they're wondering, how do I do it? How do I get there? My path seems so, you know, confusing and twisty, and I just don't really know where I'm headed. What words of wisdom, encouragement, et cetera, would you offer that professional who's like at that place where they're ready to take the step, but maybe they're too worried or self-conscious to do so?
I love that question, because it's all about vulnerability, right? So I'm going to answer it in three ways: the Tara way, a movie quote way, and something from someone in the business world that I admire. So the Tara way is simply just get the hell out of your own way, put your foot on the gas and go. Because every time looking back, when I thought about doing something, and I'm not saying you have to go launch something, but if you just go and don't overthink it and get out of your own way, that's where the magic happens. I'm going to botch this quote, but the movie quote that I have literally, the day I saw this movie, it's called We Bought a Zoo. Scarlett Johansson and Matt Damon. Have you seen this movie, Chris?
I have not.
Okay. It will change your, it will change your life. But when you get to the scene, I'm telling you, and it's family friendly.
Okay.
So when you see it, you're going to see this scene that I'm telling you will probably change your life. Matt Damon's character, Benjamin Mee, teaches his kids about courage. And the one thing that he says, I botch it every time. It's either 20 seconds or 30 seconds. I think it's 20. He'll say, all it takes is 20 seconds of courage, like 20 seconds of insane bravery. And he promises that something good will come out of that. So if you see the scene of that movie, what he showed his kids is when he went up to meet his future wife, and he just went up and started talking to her. So you'll see that quote all over the mentor conference, by the way.
Cool.
And then I have to steal something from Devin Reed. If you are not following him, this guy has it going on. He's not in multifamily, but he's just, he launched, been in the industry, like self-help kind of person who has what's called the reader. So there's two things I look forward to on Saturday. It's getting your newsletter and learning about transforming cities. And it's also the reader by Devin Reed. And he talked about how he was trash talking so much recently about some new initiatives that he launched. And he titled the newsletter on Saturday. It said, "Nobody Talks About This." And what he dove into were the three things that he really needed to like that whole self-doubt thing. How does he overcome it? And the three things was give yourself space and grace, see the problem, and return to your mission. So that's like, return to your mission is basically like, go put your foot back on the gas and go. Don't apologize and just start. So that's like a three-pronged way of my advice, which is very long, but very relevant.
No, that's a great piece of advice. And I'm sure it applies for many professionals in many different tiers, different parts of their, you know, professional journey. I think it's really applicable. I'm definitely going to add that movie to the show notes too, so no one misses out on that one. Well, before we wrap up, I always like to hit guests with a rapid fire question or two. In this case, I thought it was appropriate to ask you what you felt like your favorite outcome has been from putting together this matchmaking group so far.
Whether it's in person, because I'm seeing a lot of these members in person now, or if it's virtual or a text message, there's a couple of things. One, it's if you didn't start this group, I wouldn't have blank. And so there's so many fill in the blank scenarios that have happened. And people, I am huge on sending a card. I believe that handwritten notes are what people need to be doing. I have a stack of people, current members, who have sent me one back saying, if it wasn't for this, or thank you so much for providing the community, just giving me that validation that, like, hey, I got you. And we don't really care if it's not scripted right. Dr. Debbie has given me 2 cards and 2 books and some like motivational, but, like, so many things. But I think the most recent, also, we had our 1-year anniversary call in January. Talk about a cry fest. It was literally coming together, sharing stories. And honestly, podcasts like this, where I can actually speak to, like, oh my God, I'm changing people's lives. So it's really the texts and cards that I get out of the blue that are just saying thank you for starting the community.
That's great. Well, I know that you mentioned Atomic Habits, but before we run, any other books that you say you got to read this, like, go get it right now?
Make Your Bed.
What's Make Your Bed about?
Oh my God.
Besides making your bed.
The best way, and I wish I could teach the kids this, is it's so awesome when you start your day with an accomplishment. Don't start your day with your phone. Don't start, like, make that be one of, like, the later things that you do. But there's something so fulfilling and rewarding that when you get up and you make your bed, however that looks for you, and you accomplish something as you just put your 2 feet on the ground for the first time that morning, it provides me with such a sense of calm that it's about, like, the simple things in life that you can do to reward yourself and to just simply just say, like, I accomplished something today. And so I think the lesson in life is to just take small chunks, small pieces, and don't bite off more than you can chew, and reward yourself by being like, you know what? I made my bed today. That's an accomplishment. So I love it. And it's nice and small, so you can carry it with you. So it's a really great book.
Awesome. I love that. I think that's a great place to land here. And really, there's just one more thing to do on this call, and that is to roll out the invisible red carpet so you can tell the world what you're up to and where they can find you online.
Ironically, we, in the spirit of, oh my gosh, trial, error, we're in the process of launching the website. Thankfully, nobody else grabbed multifamilymentormatchmaking.com, so we've got it. Website is being built. I hope to have that launched by NAA. That's kind of my goal. And then just last night, we relaunched the LinkedIn site. And there was a Facebook group. It's not really, like, I just don't have enough time to manage that. So you can find me. I'm on LinkedIn every day. Hello@AmpYourNetwork.com is my email. And so very soon you'll see and then AmpYourNetwork.com is where you're going to find those Ampressions interviews and some of the other fun, like, networking that started this whole thing back in 2013. So I'm everywhere.
That's great. No, I love it. Perfect. So a couple different ways for people to reach out. I'm sure that you'll welcome them with open arms. Tara, it was a pleasure chatting with you and getting the story so far. And I'm excited to see where this goes over the next couple of years. Thank you again.
Me too. And thanks for finding the value just in the group and the conversation and using your platform. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for being with us.